What's the meaning of this, Michael Heideman? What is this, The Tonight Show?
No, I was watching some show on Ray Charles, and I just felt like we could lead in with a little classic Ray.
One of my favorite movies of all time. I love Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move out to Seattle. Start a journey across the country.
He's a legend, and what he brought to music was really cool. And that's usually I go with a little bit more funky beats, but tonight I was feeling a little bit more classic.
I mean, I wouldn't have even thought Ray Charles with his music, but thank you. Nightside on the air. Sorry about the Blackhawks tonight. Hopefully they'll get a roll in here, but we move on with you till 1 o'clock. Big show tonight, team. We have the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. David Ross is going to be on the program. Now, I want to be transparent with you. It's not going to be live. Went to the press conference yesterday at Wrigley Field, which is, I was at Wrigley Field, but I was in the Cubs Business Center. It's really kind of amazing, and I know that this is kind of old news, but just being around there and seeing what that place is in the off season with their park and all the hotels and the scene that they had yesterday. This ain't the Wrigley Field that we grew up in. Which brings me to something that I want to get to before we get to David Ross. I'm going through Twitter today. And, you know, I grew up in the... I was born in 1973. I dominated the 80s. But I think I learned my ABCs. You learn that, right? Five, 6 years old, right? Is that the time frame?
Oh, yeah. Right? One of the first things you do learn is the ABCs.
Right. And then can I get the old ABC song, please? Could we go with the old one here, Michael Heideman? Because I remember being a kid, and I would get this ABC tune, right? Mr. Rogers would be coming out or something. And then all of a sudden, here we go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P.
See, young Carm.
U-R-S-T-U-N-V. A W-X-Y-N-Z.
Yeah!
Now
right?
I know my ABCs.
And now I know my ABCs. I had that down.
26 letters from A to Z.
I don't remember that part, but okay, fine. 26 letters, A to Z. If you ask me how many letters were in the alphabet before I heard that right now, I might have gotten it wrong. But I had it, man. And we've done that for life. You could be walking across the bridge on Michigan Avenue, you'd be doing your ABCs.
It's everywhere. And the police make you say it. It's a song that everyone knows.
Right, right. You get pulled over for a DUI, you got to know your ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's a story for another time. I was never pulled over. I was never drinking, but I had one headlight and I had three drunk guys in the car.
Oh, man.
And the dude made me get out. I'm like, look, I haven't had anything to drink. Do the alphabet starting at K. Do the alphabet starting at K. I'm like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And it's not easy to do, even if you're sober. Anyway, that happened back in my Kansas City radio days. Everything worked out fine because I was a sober Carm. But look at the reason why we're bringing this up, and it's a crisis, I think, in this country right now. There's a new ABC song.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H-I-J-K-L-M-N.
What?
O-P-Q-R-S-T-U.
Huh?
V-W-X-Y-Z.
Now that is just... So this is making the way through Twitter today and across the world. New ABC song. Because L-M-N-O-P... You don't learn those letters enough. It's too fast. L-M-N-O-P. They don't know that it's the young children of the world. Apparently, teachers of today thought that, you know what, they don't really know it's L and M and N and O and P, L-M-N-O-P. That's not that is low bar. We're going to raise the bar. Let me hear one more time, please. We're going to raise the bar and we're going to make a new ABC song to make the world a better place.
C, D, E, F, G.
It almost sounds like it's in a different language when you do it like that.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N.
L, M, N.
O, P, Q, R.
You're right.
S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
I need opinions. I need people's thoughts on this. 312-981-7200. Do you like the new ABC song better than the old song? Have we made the world a better place? Will Billy and John and Renee and Sam and Michael, will they have a better shot, young John, young Renee? Will they have a better shot growing up with this song? They're going to learn the alphabet. It's going to be so much clearer. And they're going to be that much better people. And they're going to go to Stanford and Northwestern and Harvard. And they're going to communicate better. And they're going to have more friends. And they're going to eat their Oreos better. And they're going to dunk them in the milk. But they're not going to do that because they're going to have a reduced fat asparagus broccolatini something something.
All of the world's problems can be solved with just the fixing of this song, is what they're saying? That's crazy.
It's all about raising the bar, man. They're trying to raise the bar. And I'm thinking to myself, where have we attempted to raise the bar, but it was actually better the old way? Like where, when we were, you know, when you were a kid, they tried to make it better. They thought it was going to be better, but it's really not better. Like that song, L-M-N-O-P, that's just not as fun. The other one was a little spicier.
A little spicier, a little bit more sing-songy. And there's way too much emphasis on V, too. They really hold out V. It has its own solo almost in there now.
Right.
I'm so confused. When you showed me this, my whole world was blown because it was just like, remember they had the food pyramid for so long, and then now it's the food plate that we have. And I don't know if that's making it better, worse. By eating all these greens, are we, you know, really that different? The whole world is changing, Mark.
These are tough times right now. I mean, we don't have school in Chicago. We got fires going on in California. And now we got, I mean, those are real things. And now, even a five-year-old has to relearn the ABC song. And what about the adults out there? You're a parent, right? You're teaching your kids how to do the ABCs, and now you got to learn a whole new song. You're out at work every single day. You're trying to make a living. You're trying to put food on the table. Your boss wants something more from you. He's got another project. And now you got to relearn the ABC song. That's you're asking a lot here, team. World's, you know, trafficking's going on. More social media that you got to be in touch with. There's a lot of things here. And now all of a sudden they're throwing in the new ABC song. Is that the real John Williams on line two? That's the real John Williams calling in. I wonder John Williams' take on this. John Williams, 1-3 on your radio on 720 WGN, listening at 11:15 at night. God, I love you, John Williams.
Anytime Carm's on the radio, I want to talk on the radio.
I don't know if that's true, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in. Where are you at on this, John? They're changing the ABC song.
I'm with you on everything except your conclusion. Like, you're right. I hate it when they push the bar too much. Kale salad for babies, all that crap. But maybe they got a point there, Carm. I think you got to be open to it.
See, that's what, you know, I was sitting next to a young Ashley today at Fansided, and she's like, you just sound like an old man. It's better. L-M-N-O-P.
Listen to me.
It's you're just not open. You need to open yourself up, Carm.
I think they got a point there. I mean, like, if you and I weren't prejudiced by our love of the old version, L-M-N-O, when you were saying it, I go, oh, yeah, that sounds like E-L-E-M-N. You know, it sounds like a word, L-M-N-O. What is that?
Yeah, but you see, John, you've made it through life successfully, and they taught you the song, yeah. L-M-N-O-P. You learned all the letters. It's not like you didn't do it.
Yeah, but I went to SIU at Carbondale. If I had learned it the other way, maybe I'm a maroon. Maybe I'm a wildcat.
See, I think that was more because you were focused on your hoop game and your tennis game and whatever else you were doing.
Well, if you're keeping score, Carm, I'm like, you're right. I think these people, like, they're raising their kids and trying to fix society too much by reading a book and just they're overthinking it, you know. But I don't know. Maybe they got a point on this one, dude.
Okay. All right. Will you?
I hate to be a negative call to start your show.
No. This is not a negative call. This is a brilliant call. This is a great call. Will you put this on the news, Click?
No. No.
Okay.
Oh. So only because I already got a news, Click. But you know what? This is tomorrow's news, Click, Carm.
That's what I'm saying. Do it tomorrow. Do it Friday. Do it at some point for your buddy, Carm. Okay. Let's play.
Hey, I'm enjoying the show. Keep it up.
Thanks, John. Talk to you.
Yep.
John Williams, 1-3. Listen, or else we'll find you. 312-981-7200. Bill, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I heard this song earlier today, and to me, it's an electronic voice. It's not a real person doing that thing. If you listen to it close, they've done that with electronic instruments or synthesizer to make that voice, and I think they're doing it because I think it was on Steve's show this morning. What's her name? The girl, Gina, the girl talking with him.
Jisook Yee?
Right. She was saying that LNNOP was harder for her to pronounce, I guess, when she's a kid, because I guess she's from Korea, but she didn't know English till she got here. And she's saying it was hard, but she said she learned it because L is a hard letter for him to say.
Hold on a second.
Korean, anyways.
Right.
But then I was going to make another point.
Yes, sir.
They're changing so much stuff. It's like, okay, I'm visually handicapped and I read Braille. Well, they've done a new, what they call EU Braille, or UE Braille.
Okay.
It's a universal Braille. Well, they've changed so many of the symbols and signs. If you read the old stuff, you have to think about what they're talking about. But if you take some of our magazines we get, say it would be 60 pages long, it's almost 8 pages more with the new Braille.
Because
they made it so it's more international for the European countries and that to understand it.
So are you liking that, Bill, or not liking it?
Well, I think it's crazy. I mean, what's wrong with learning? It's the same thing. Did you hear they're changing this? They got a new song out now called It's Too Cold Outside, you know, that Christmas song, Baby It's Cold Outside. They've got a new version of that one out now. Somebody's rewritten it.
Okay. I believe you, Bill. We can look for that. I haven't seen that.
I think that was on, well, that wasn't on radio. That was on one of the TV shows I happened to be listening to today.
Okay.
They're talking about how that they've changed the whole word. Somebody's written it different now.
Yeah, John Legend helped write the new version to take out
John Legend, that's the one, right. Yeah, he wrote it, but it was on, I don't know, it was one of those TV shows, Inside Edition or something, I don't know what it was now, but I saw that, and I said, brother, pretty soon they're going to change White Christmas because that's too ethnic.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the phone call, man. Have a good night. There's Bill with wide-ranging thoughts on many subjects right there on 720 WGN. All right, let me do a quick timeout, and I'm going to try to see if Jisook Yee will call in and defend herself on her LMNOP, because I feel like she could do that very well. But according to Bill, what she said on the Steve Cochran show was that it messed up her entire childhood. At least that's how I heard it. Hey, a reminder, there is another shooting victim every 3 hours in Chicago. How do we get here? Behind the headline, Chicago violence. That's tonight on the WGN TV News at 9, which already happened, so hopefully you DVR'd it. 720 WGN.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah!
H, I, J, K, L, M, N.
No!
O, P, Q, R, S, T, U.
Just doesn't work for me, team.
V.
720 WGN.
X-Y-Z.
We are learning our ABCs again. All right, somebody called in and said that Jisook Yee, who's my hero and is a media superstar, and of course is on the Steve Cochran show, dominating with Steve every morning. Apparently, she couldn't do LMNOP and couldn't learn the language. I don't believe that to be true. G is up late at night. God bless her. And now joins us on WGN. She'll be back here at 6 a.m. G, is this real? You couldn't do LMNOP as a kid?
I just was giving the contrarian point of view of the if it's not broke, don't fix it. I was suggesting that maybe LNMOP might be useful, this new version, for people that are learning the language where English maybe wasn't their first language.
Okay, so you were being open and trying to be nice and seeing possibility, but it really wasn't a problem for you at all, correct?
Well, I think it was a little bit of a problem, because I think it's a little bit of a problem for most kids, honestly, because it all runs together.
Wait, hold on. Did you learn the language?
I did learn the language, but I didn't master the language until I was 30.
Isn't mastering the language overrated? Didn't you figure out that your friend Matt started with an M and Larry started with an L and Nancy was with an N, and those are, you know, your L, M, N's, and O's and P's, G?
Well, people still confuse M and N on the phone. You have to say N as in Nancy and M as in Mary and L as in Larry. It's not that easy.
Yeah, but
O is the only one that's pretty clear.
Yeah, but how does that change with the new song? You still are going to have to do M.
Because there's pauses. There's like a little bit of air time in between each letter. I'm not saying, I mean, listen, people, sing it the way you want to sing it, but maybe it's helpful for some other folks out there, especially for people that, you know, are learning the language.
See, both you now and John Williams, two very mature, successful broadcasters, are open to this new song, and now I'm thinking that I'm old man Carm, stuck in my own ways, and I need to evolve as a human being, which is a little confronting for me, G, at 11:25 at night, just so you know.
Well, you know what? I do think that you're old, mannish, but I think it's charming. I think it's part of your charm because you're really a young man, and the old man is trapped inside of you, which adds to your allure because it shows that you're this wise person, but within a young body.
Thank you, I think.
But no, definitely. I think you're stubborn for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. I'm going to try to open myself up, but just flat out, the song sucks. The old one was better.
I think it's more like a lullaby. This is good. Didn't it make you sleepy?
It made me angry. I wasn't sleepy at all. I was like, come on, man. Do we really need to raise this bar?
You're supposed to be working on your anger issues. You're supposed to do more meditation.
That's true.
You're not even asking me why I'm up so late.
Why are you up so late? I got 20 seconds. Tell me in 20 seconds why you're up so late.
Okay, I just went to the John Leguizamo one-man show. It was brilliant.
Okay. I
highly recommend it.
Where is it at?
Rewriting. It's at the Cadillac Theater.
Okay.
And he's only here for like a week.
Okay.
But it's worth it.
Good job.
And
get it up.
Hamilton. All right, bye.
Have a great show tomorrow. Thank you. All right. G Suki, who knows her ABCs, on 720 WGN. People are fired up about the ABCs. I'll read some text coming up a little bit later, but I want to get to our conversation with the new manager of the Chicago Cubs, David Ross. Before I bring David in, and I talked to him yesterday at the Cubs press conference. Of course, David talked to the media, and then he did a bunch of one-on-ones, and I said, does David Ross want to talk to me, Mark Carmen? And the Cubs were like, of course he does. He loves you. It's exactly how that conversation went, Michael Heidemann. But I want to rewind back. September 18th, David Ross was promoting Huggies diapers. And so I had him on my podcast, and he was talking about how there was a shortage in diapers and all this stuff. And then I'm like, so, what do you think about managing? And the rumor had been out there that the Cubs were interested in him, but that he didn't want the job, that he was comfortable doing TV. He's got young kids, and I'm like, you telling me the Cubs offer him the gig to manage the team, and he's going to say no? So I figured I had to ask him, and he was real open about it, and I was surprised. Very clear. It would have to be a unique situation, but if the right one came along, then I would be interested. I'm thinking, well, come on. This has to fall under that umbrella, right? And lo and behold, the Cubs go and lose 4 one-run games to the Cardinals that weekend. The season implodes. Joe Maddon gets fired. And fast forward to now, Joe Maddon is the manager. David Ross is the manager. Joe Maddon's the manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So perhaps someday they'll all meet in the World Series. But then we get to yesterday, and that's how I started out the conversation with David Ross. So I talked to you. You were promoting diapers on September the 18th, and I'm like, well, I got to ask David Ross, does he have interest? And then I was surprised and interested, like, that it was clear that you did. So I'm just rewinding back. Did you know that this was coming down the pipe? Or did you see a possibility? What would you say about looking back?
I just think, you know, in the roles I've had, and especially with the TV stuff, being in these different locker rooms and a lot of conversations with really close friends, Aaron Boone, Kevin Cash, as I pass through, Alex Cora, Dave Roberts, they're all ex-teammates of mine. And so I've just kind of inquired about it. You know, my name's been thrown out there the last couple of years with some different jobs. And, you know, you start asking yourself that question a little more. The more it gets in the media, the more people start talking about it, you start to kind of figure. And then, you know, you start to, you ask me, is like, this organization is obviously means a lot to me. And so my heart is drawn to that dugout when I come here. I've wanted to be back in that dugout just in some capacity for a long, long time. But, you know, I trying to balance a lot of, you know, family stuff and job stuff. And so, yeah, when this came available, I mean, who turns down this job? Like, what? Yeah, everybody be calling me an idiot.
See, people were saying, nah, Ross, I'm like, really? He wouldn't be interested in managing the Chicago Cubs? That doesn't make sense to me. And there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just like, Theo's like, can you come in? And yes, sir. Let me know when you need me. And I tell you what, that phone call from him and telling me I got the job was just, I was over the moon, emotional, super excited. There's not a more iconic, you know, you get a chance to lead one of the most iconic organizations in all of pro sports in the world. You know, you don't turn that down, and you take it very seriously. And it's a huge honor, and I know there's a lot of expectations, and I'm up for the challenge. I'm excited.
Was there any question in the interview process where, like, uh-oh, I might have messed up that one?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's in the interview process, there's like some areas where you're like, oh, I killed that, I nailed it, like, you know, feel like it felt awesome, top of the world. And there's some you're just like, man, I hadn't thought about it like that, or hadn't seen the game that way. And so, yeah, just a lot of those things, the analytical side, just knowing, yeah, that's the stuff I'm going to dive into as soon as I'm done here, just getting to know as much as I can from the analytical side, stuff I thought I knew, but there's just some deeper things that I got to get a grasp on.
So you mentioned in the press conference about Grandpa Rossi and all that. You're a kind of a made man in town. You won a World Series here, and you're, in some ways, you're putting that on the line, because you know, I can look at like John Paxson for the Bulls, hit a game winning shot in the '93 Finals, gets a lot of flack now, so it's a different guy. So, but you're not about that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that. I mean, like, I roll into this town and they treat me like king, and I understand that that's going to change, you know, unless you put another trophy up or multiple trophies. So, you know, I understand that, and that's part of going in. But my passion isn't, you know, fame or you know, coming and getting free dinners in Chicago. It's about people, and it's about winning championships. And I've been a part of history twice, and it's a special thing that you can't ever replace. And having a chance to lead men to do something special that's historic is where my heart lies.
And it's not just the winning, though, too, right? You enjoy the actual process.
Yeah, it's a grind. I mean, it's the ups and downs, you know, like problem solving, how to figure it out, what's going wrong, just constantly a passion for success, I think, is what drives you. You know, it's funny, as players, and especially in a manager, like, the wins are expected and the losses are what kill you, right? And so I've seen that. I've seen it on my friends that are managers, and we've talked about it. So, but that's the way we're wired. It's the way I'm wired. You're trying to fix the losses and just kind of, okay, we won that one, on to the next one.
Have you thought about, you know, after a game I go for four, how I shook that off versus how do I, we lost, and this decision, that decision, this guy's struggling. You could drive yourself nuts till 4 a.m.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of managers do lose sleep, right? But I'm going to rely heavily on my coaches with a lot of that. I want my coaches to hold me accountable. I want to tell me the truth of where I make mistakes. I'm going to make some. I don't have all the answers. It's a collaborative thing for me. At the end of the day, I make the final decision, but I'm going to rely heavily on the front office and the coaches and even the players, the feedback from the players, the guys I have a relationship with. Just a lot of open, honest conversations.
Realistic expectations for 2020, how you're looking at it right now?
World Series, right? Like, I mean, I want to win the World Series. We got the talents there. Ain't no doubt about it. There's a lot of talent on that field. I'll never not put my eye on the biggest goal, and that's winning World Series. I learned that early on in my career. Why ever settle for anything less? It's not about making the playoffs. It's about hanging banners and winning trophies. That's the stuff I came back for, and that's what I'm passionate about.
Last one. Have you reached out to John and or Anthony, who, like, are you, you got a smile on your face right now, like, I'm going to go out to the mound, I'm going to take you out, dude, and you're probably not going to like it.
I told John, I told you, I was like, I'm coming to get the ball from you. Don't you show me up in front of all these people, jokingly, right? Yeah, man, we've had some conversations. I told him I'd reach out a little more. They had a lot of questions. They've both been calling me Skipper over text messaging, which makes me laugh a little bit and smile all at the same time. I'm in a different role, but those relationships are going to go a long way. I'm going to lean on those guys that I know well, the Javis, you know, the Lesters, the Riz, the KBs, these guys that I know really well, to give me just some honest feedback about how I'm doing sometimes, and then I'm going to give them some honest feedback about what I expect from them and their effort on a daily basis.
And then for real, last one. This team, there's a lot of conversations around Chicago's, if they don't win another World Series, will it be a disappointment? And I remember walking around Wrigley when you guys just won the pennant. And I remember interviewing you on the field that night. People were crying. I'm like, is this the best night of your life? Yes. Have you had kids? Yes. So, I mean, in my mind, it's a success no matter what. But how do you look at that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, expectation, winning brings even more expectations, right? So, but that's a good thing. Expectations, as Joe used to say, a guy I'll pull a lot of kind of my things from, and it has a huge influence on me. Winning expectations are a great thing, and I don't want to be in a place that I have high expectations. So, yes, that's why we're here. We're here to win more championships. The Ricketts want more. The front office wants more. Theo and Jed, they're going to hold each other, all of us, to that standard, and I think if you ask these players, that's what they want. That's the game changer. That's the stuff that is historic, and that you go back to those amazing memories of the grind of a season and all the good and bad that's going to come throughout a season, but then you get to hold up that trophy at the end. That's what it's all about.
Congrats, man. Great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
So that was David Ross.
Is here just in time for Halloween. Demetrius Ivory will be here, so if you're within the sound of our voice, you're going to want to hear this forecast.
Guess who plays the Halloween newsaroo? Svengoolie after 6.
It's the Rokan Show
with Anna DeVlantis.
Tomorrow afternoon at 3.
WGN. Have you heard about the new all-in-one Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare? The AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens plan from United Healthcare includes coverage for all your healthcare needs, from medical and hospital insurance to prescription drug coverage, all rolled into one convenient plan. The AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens plan from United Healthcare also offers you a low monthly premium, $0 copays on Tier 1 prescription drugs filled at Walgreens, and a free gym membership, so you have the freedom to spend your money the way you choose. Finally, the freedom you've earned in a Medicare plan you deserve. Go to AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens.com for all the plan details. That's AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens.com. Limitations and exclusions apply. Benefits and features vary by plan. AARP isn't an insurer, doesn't recommend products, and encourages you to evaluate your needs. United Healthcare contracts directly with Walgreens for this plan. AARP and its affiliates are not parties to this contractual relationship. $0 copay not available at non-preferred pharmacies. Other pharmacies are available in our network.
The Lakeside Bank Women First Education Awards are on Tuesday, November 5th. Female student chefs from Washburn Culinary Institute will cook and compete for $10,000 in Lakeside Bank scholarships. Come taste and vote for your favorite dish. Award-winning chefs Carrie Nahabedian of Brindill, Sarah Stegner of Prairie Grass Cafe, and Mindy Siegel of Mindy's Hot Chocolate will also discuss their careers. See lakesidebank.com for details and tickets. Lakesidebank.com. Come support education and aspiring women chefs.
Do you think your house is just settling? Well, think again. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer, president of PermaSeal. Your house is not supposed to move. This settling may actually be an indication of problems with your home's foundation. But you don't have to spend a lot of time and money investigating this problem. PermaSeal gives free inspections and estimates. So if your house is settling, you know who to call. PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Your best for being better, PermaSeal.
Tomorrow, Dog and Beth Chapman have tracked down thousands of fugitives.
We got another one.
Be there for their last hunt together.
We're just going to have fun and love each other. And when it ends, it ends.
Dogs Most Wanted. All new tomorrow at 9, 8 central on WGN America. Check your local listings.
So that was my conversation with David Ross. I'm kind of amazed by how many people are worried that Ross is going to fail, not ready, has never been a manager. Dude played in the big league for 15 years. in the big leagues for 15 years. John Lester wanted him here because, not because he was going to hit bombs, but he wanted a leader behind home plate who would keep him in line and make him the best John Lester that he could possibly be. When they won in 2016, I know the Cubs are trying to move forward, but when they won in 2016, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, they loved this guy. And it wasn't they were loving him because he was phenomenal on the field, although he did hit a home run in Game 7 and had some other big moments too, or because he was their golfing buddy. They loved him for what he brought to that team in the clubhouse, how he held guys accountable, how he was about winning. And I don't think it's fair to blame Joe Maddon. And I would have kept Joe Maddon. But there was one comment from Theo Epstein yesterday, Cubs president, that I'm going to play right here, that kind of underlined why they needed to move on from Joe and bring in David Ross.
Our guys' routines have evolved to be so individual that there just wasn't much time when we were actually together as a team, either, you know, practicing on the field or, you know, together talking strategy, talking baseball. So I think that it's going to be a priority going forward just to try to rebuild some togetherness.
Apparently, in the Cubs' exit interviews with their players, a bunch of them said, look, we were not a team. The clubhouse at times felt like a morgue. And guys were just off by themselves. And we need a little bit of camaraderie. Now, I'm shocked that Joe Maddon allowed that to happen. Joe Maddon's a guy that's, you know, he's got the iguanas and the snakes and Legion Day and all sorts of stuff that's, you know, fun to break up the season. But for whatever reason, something's been missing. And that ain't going to be the case with David Ross. He's going to come in there and it's going to have a different feel. So, listen, I think it's a great hire. I'll miss Joe. I think Joe Girardi would have been a good hire, too. But I think David Ross is going to do a phenomenal job for the Cubs. And if they don't win it, it ain't going to be on the manager. He'll be on the front office for coming up short, providing him players. And sure, he'll have a learning curve. And for the record, I like David Ross. Dude's fun to talk to. All right, back to the ABCs, because Ben, you've been holding for a half an hour, and we don't do that to you on the night side. You get to come on the air, even if you're not talking about the exact topic at the time. What's up, Ben? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Tom. Always good to hear you on the air.
Thanks, Ben.
I work at a preschool. We have 3, 4, and 5-year-olds.
Okay.
And we have a little different take on the ABC song. We sing A through K and Q through Z, all the same rhythm as your standard song. But when we get to the L, the M, and the N, the L, and the D, instead of doing it L-M-N-O-T like we're all used to, we do L-M-N-O-T. And I think that's because all those consonants, L, M, and N, are all British consonants and really close to...
Ben, hold on a second. Hold on. Do we have us on speakerphone here, Ben? What are we dealing with?
Bluetooth on.
The Bluetooth. You're a little muffled, and I want to put you to the test here, Ben. So can you switch us into a better situation?
Yeah.
That's better.
Can you hear me better now?
That's better. All right, Ben.
Sorry about that.
I want you to sing the ABC song the way you just described. Can you do that for me?
I suppose.
All right. The dance floor is yours.
Are you going to give me a key, or shall I pick one?
you can start as however you would like, Ben.
All right. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z, and then so on.
And so you just slowed down the L, M, N, O, P.
Instead of over 2 beats, they sing it over 4 beats.
They sing it over 4 beats. Okay, that's what I couldn't understand with your previous connection. So they sing it over four beats. L-M-N-O-P versus what we just heard, which was an L-M-N, a long pause, a weird thing, and an O-P.
Which is awfully strange.
Right. Somebody trying to raise the bar on us here, Ben, but you work in a preschool. You're with kids every day. You see how they learn, and you've got no problem with the old song, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ben, can you think of anything else in life where we've tried to make it better, but it actually made it worse? Like, do you remember an old? Can you think? Can you think of anything in the past where we tried to make it better, but we actually made it worse?
Gosh.
I'm thinking about. Do you remember an old Budweiser can, Ben? And you would, instead of popping it open, you would pull on
it. The pull tab.
Yeah, the pull tab. Now, it made you feel more manly, for a lack of a better word, just the way you'd pull it open, right? It made you really celebrate the beer moment versus just the crack in the pour.
Admittedly, the pull tab was before my time, Carm. But
it was? Ben, you sound like you're, you know, around my age, roughly. How old are you, Ben?
I'm an old soul. I get called like an 80-year-old man, but I'm 31.
You sound terrible, Ben.
Gee, thanks.
It's late at night. You're just a little tired, Ben. You're good. You know,
sure,
I'm kidding.
We'll go with that.
You know I'm kidding, Ben. You're my guy.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Carm.
All right, Ben. Be good. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
312-981-7200. People are texting me, get Ben off the air. Hey, settle down. Ben was solid. I liked Ben.
He did have a very mature voice, though.
He did for a 31-year-old.
Yeah.
But he stepped right in and sang the ABC song. I appreciate that.
He's younger than me. I think, you know, maybe we should have used this as background music for him when he was singing the ABCs. Some nice old-timey music for his beautifully mature voice. Oh,
that was the old Ben. That was the straight oldest-sounding 31-year-old I've ever heard in the history of WGN radio.
He sounded wise. He must
Brilliant.
Be a great teacher.
Brilliant. There's no doubt. He's teaching preschoolers things that they never thought they could possibly
Physics
learn.
Physics 101.
Right.
Stuff.
He waited patiently through the David Ross interview, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to appreciate a guy like that. 11:53 at night. 312-981-7200, by the way, is the phone number. A lot of texts coming in on the ABC song. It'll be like new math. Perhaps we'll help their kids at home the old-fashioned way. And parents will sing it their way, confuse them at five. People are just complaining about this song here. Let's see here. No! Get rid of it. My nephew is 2.5 years old, and he's already knows the original song. See? That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
2.5-year-old coming out of the womb with a strong focus in life, learning his ABCs, and now all of a sudden he's got to learn the new song.
How, you know what I was thinking about?
It's tough for a 2.5-year-old.
It's if you don't learn the ABCs, you won't know Twinkle Twinkle too, or the Itsy Bitsy Spider. I feel like they all have the same beat and cadence.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
So now it's going to throw off all these other songs.
What are we going to do? Replace the Itsy Bitsy Spider?
That, no. There will be protests. People will line up in the streets.
Oh, but there's probably a better way that you could do the Itsy Bitsy Spider, Michael Hyman.
Now, Carm, I don't know.
Itsy Bitsy Spider. I need the lyrics to be in front of me. Crawls up the water spout. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Down comes the rain and washes the spider out. Hang on a second here. Itsy Bitsy Spider. That's why I love radio.
Sun and dried up all the rain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now I know my Itsy Bitsy Spider song.
Right. The Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun, dried up all the rain, and the Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the spout again.
Wait.
Did somebody get rich coming up with the Itsy Bitsy Spider? Why couldn't I have come up with the Itsy
Mother
Bitsy Spider?
Mother Goose lived in a vast mansion for years.
Mother Goose just came correct, didn't she? God bless Mother Goose.
But it's going to throw off the way that kids are, you know, their brains are thinking now. Because now I get it that it's going to be slower, it's going to be great, but it's not about, I mean, it's about learning the song, I mean, learning the letters, but it's more so about just, you know, functioning your brain into a way where you can recall stuff easy.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The listeners were a little bit torn on that.
They were. People texting in on the David Ross. Very good interview with Ross. Let's see here. The Paxson reference was astute. Thank you, Texter. I think it's a huge thing for David Ross, as we segue back to the interview. It's true for David Ross. Most a beloved figure, Grandpa Rossi, could walk in any restaurant, loved forever. If he comes in here, doesn't win, makes moves that people don't agree with, they're going to boo him out of town. That's what will happen. He'll get killed on the radio. He'll get written about in the paper. He's Theo's buddy. He wasn't ready. All of that is possible. Or they win the World Series and they build him a statue. But you can't live your life, right, worried about coming into a city and getting free dinner. But it does, I mean, I do think John Paxson is a great reference point. The guy was beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into management. And now he's not beloved. And a lot less than beloved by a lot of people in the city. Perhaps Paxson Company will get it going at some point here, although starting to lose a lot of faith on that one. All right, quick timeout news at the top. Tim Donaghy coming up after midnight. I'll explain who Tim is for those of you who don't know, but he had a little bit of trouble getting kicked out of the NBA, former NBA referee who got involved with organized crime. 720 WGN. 1205, good morning. Mark Carmen with you till 1 o'clock. Nick D warming up in the bullpen. Informal poll, 312-981-7200. Who is going to make sure, alter their plans to watch Game 7 of the World Series tomorrow night? Game 7. Michael Heidemann, do you even know who's playing?
Yes, I do.
Who's playing?
The Astros and...
You don't know. You definitely don't know. You're looking around. You're finding an answer somewhere. Go ahead.
The Marlins.
No. Yes, he doesn't know. I was correct. Vic Vaughn, do you know who's playing in the World Series?
Yeah, but I will not be watching because I have to rest to give the best product I absolutely can to our listeners.
So you flat out could mail it in tomorrow night, be a little tired to watch the World Series, but...
Not happening. Dedication, my friend.
Okay.
Dedication to the craft.
See, I would hold that...
And I don't like either one of those teams anyway.
Okay, so I would actually hold that you could do both, Vic. You're that talented. I think you could do your job on no rest for 3 days straight. You're just that talented. But to that point that you just made, no one... I'm guessing who's listening to WGN right now gives a rat's behind about the Washington Nationals and or the Houston Astros. Can you name one player on either team, Vic?
Yeah, Justin Verlander.
Okay, fine.
Pitcher.
Okay, right. Verlander. Great.
Mm, it'd be hard to go beyond that.
Can you name a National? Can you name one player?
Let me think. Oh, Strasburger.
Almost
close.
Almost correct. Yes, Strasburg.
I apologize for butchering that man's name.
It's close enough. But that's the point. Nobody knows anything about the Nationals or the Astros in this city, except for your diehard baseball fans, of which there just aren't that many. Regional sport. We love the Cubs. We love the White Sox. Love going to Guaranteed Rate Field. Love going to Wrigley. You know Lucas Giolito. You know Anthony Rizzo. But who's the manager of the Washington Nationals? Well, that does happen to be former Cub Davey Martinez, who got himself ejected tonight. But, and people are saying Rick, what did you say the score was of the game?
7-2.
Okay. People are saying that you reported it wrong. Vic never gets anything wrong, damn it. 7-2 is the final. That's correct.
Oh, you know what? They're right. I did. Let me correct that right now.
Did you say 5-2?
I did. My bad. My bad. I'll correct it in the next report officially.
Okay. Well, it was 5-2 at one point, and then it ended up 7-2. Great. Good job noticing there, 219 on the text line. And there was a moment in tonight's game which was offensive. Trey Turner, the little infield hit knock, and he gets thrown out. Actually, he beat the throw to first, but he was ruled out for running in the baseline. Horrendous call by the home plate umpire, Sam Holbrook. And it was great drama. And I was enjoying it. And I was rooting for the Nationals because I would love to see Game 7, which is just sweet entertainment. That's tremendous sports entertainment. But I am wondering, will people actually try to alter their Wednesday night to watch a Game 7 of the World Series when it's two teams that you, in all likelihood, do not care about? For me, growing up back in the day, I remember the Mets and the Red Sox in 1986. And that was the year the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs. and we didn't have cable, and we had a small TV that was in my parents' room, and that thing was on. And it wasn't like my family was a huge baseball family. We were not. We loved basketball. We loved tennis. We loved football. But the World Series, of course, was on because it was the World Series. But I don't think baseball has that anymore. Even a Game 7. Football has it. Everyone, their mom, their sister, their grandmother, their grandfather, you watch the Super Bowl. Half the country's watching the Super Bowl. NBA Finals? Probably not. Probably not. But baseball used to have it. And here we go. Neither team has won a home game. The Astros are home tomorrow night. The Nationals are a great story. No one expected them to be there. They've faced elimination multiple times in the playoffs. Made it through every single time. Made it through again tonight, elimination game. They win it on the road. Justin Verlander, the one guy that Vic Vaughn could name on the Astros, was pitching tonight. You're expecting to win the game. The Astros didn't do it. And so there's some great storylines here. But I just don't know if anybody really cares.
There's nothing better that will be able to beat 90s Major League Baseball than when
you say 90s.
Yeah, the 1990 to 2000. That was the best time for baseball. Oh yeah.
So that's when you were a kid. Like I would say, like it was already over in the 90s. Like the only World Series that I really remember from the 90s was the Jack Morris Minnesota Twins in 91, and that series was insane in seven games. And I don't even remember who they beat. I got to look it up right now. That's terrible.
There were so many great legendary players. I mean, was that when Kirby Puckett was still playing on the Twins too?
That was when Kirby made a huge catch at the wall in that series, 1991 World Series. The Twins. They beat the Braves. I mean, how do I miss that? I just remember Minnesota in that series getting it done and winning it in seven. In incredible fashion.
And that's when the Braves were America's team at the time. They were the best of the best in the 1990s.
Right.
For years.
And other
the Yankees.
I mean, the other series that I remember in the 90s, White Sox, Blue Jays, Frank Thomas hitting a bomb in the Sky Dome. But I mean, Cubs in 98, losing to Atlanta, getting swept.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot more fanfare during that time. I mean, the home run race against Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa was happening in 1998.
But that's just when you were a kid. Like that was Heideman prime. Like the 80s, you had Kirk Gibson in 89 with a walk-off homer in Game 1 against the A's, one of the most iconic moments in World Series history. Mm-hmm. You had Mookie Blaylock. That would be a guard in the NBA who's now in jail.
great name,
Mookie Wilson of the New York Mets with the ground ball going between Buckner's legs.
More than one Mookie in the sports world, huh?
You had the Royals and Don Denkitcher, the umpire, blowing it with the Cardinals. But that's when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's when maybe that's the thing with baseball. As you get older,
lose touch a little bit.
Yeah, lose touch. You realize there's more important things in life. But this is a Game 7, man. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a phenomenal game. I don't even know what they're doing as far as the starting pitchers. Nobody cares about that either. But will you be watching? 312-981-7200, informal Carm poll here. If I wasn't working tonight, I'd be in front of the TV watching the game. I was born a Twins fan. So there's a person with an excuse. Schilling and the Bloody Sock was a great series. Absolutely. Going back to the Red Sox. My husband is from Houston. They're my AL team. You're a Cubs fan. All of our friends have been super supportive and watching most games together. And I posted a pic of Alex Bregman on my brother's Instagram page. So some of us are watching. All right. Okay. You're out there. I appreciate it. I haven't seen the ratings for this series, but I'm guessing they're awful. And I, you know, baseball fan right here, man. I hope you're checking it out tomorrow night. I'm not trying to knock on the sport. I'm just trying to speak to what is. And I would say the buzz for this is pretty low. Let me try Craig here. 312-981-7200. What's up, Craig? Welcome to WGN.
Well, I don't think the buzz is all that low. And if people don't like baseball, it's their problem. It's certainly better than watching the Chicago Bears. I mean, baseball's, you know, it's... The only problem is the games are too long, and that is one of the things that hurts the game. But, I mean, if you don't like baseball, then, if you don't want to watch a game seven, then you must not like the sport, and that's your problem.
Well, it's not a problem, per se. That's your prerogative. How about you say it like that, Craig?
Oh, I'm going to say problem, but that's all right.
Okay. So you're a diehard, Craig. Craig? I think I lost Craig. All right, Craig made his point. It's your problem. You are wrong for not making the time for the beloved baseball. I'll be watching tomorrow night, and I'm hosting tomorrow night as well. So we're going to talk a little World Series Game 7. I reached out to my guy Robert Ford, who's the radio voice of the Houston Astros, but he's not responding to me. I think he's in the bunker, man. I've been talking all night, Carm. You think I'm coming out with you at midnight? Well, why not, Robert Ford? Come on, man. Great story. Grew up in New York, was a diehard Mets fan, did his play-by-play tape in Yankee Stadium in the upper deck, sitting next to a bunch of people. Made his way all the way to the voice of the Astros. But he's too busy to talk to his buddy Carm. It's all right. Hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then you can stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainments, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Coming on back here, Tim Donaghy was an NBA ref from 1994 to 2007. Then he got hooked up with gamblers. Then he started influencing NBA games. Then he got himself kicked out of the league. So we're going to talk to Tim coming on back here. 720 WGN. My guy Dave Plyer texting the show. Saturday overnights. King of the world. Showing me the World Series ratings hitting a new record low on Saturday night. Game 4, 5.9 rating. It's a little over 10 million viewers. And the previous low was a 6.1 for the Rays and Phillies in Game 3 of 2008. So my theory that no one's watching is absolutely correct. All right, let's move on to our next guest, 720 WGN. It is my pleasure to bring in Tim Donaghy, NBA ref from 1994 to 2007. And of course, Tim was involved in the NBA's gambling scandal in the mid-2000s. Tim was providing information to gamblers, ended up getting caught, and has been banned from the NBA. He's now... has a movie that is about him called Inside Game, and Tim joining us now. Tim, this movie is going to detail in depth what you did in the NBA, going to perhaps expose you to people who don't know your story. This has to feel super vulnerable. This movie is going to be out there with yourself and your dad and a lot of people you know. How's it feeling for you knowing that people are going to see sort of the inside part of the story in Inside Game?
You know, obviously, you know, when I was going through the whole situation in 2007, it was very embarrassing, and it is still as embarrassing 10 years later to see it play out in the movie Inside Game. So it's a situation where a lot of poor choices are shown in the movie that I made, but hopefully something positive is going to come from that, and that a lot of people are going to learn from it. So it's an exciting time to see the movie, but in the same sense, it's a little embarrassing.
Tim, where did the muscle come from for you to continue to do these interviews and sort of, I guess, relive it all the time? Because you've been on a ton of radio and you're talking to me today, and we're going to hit some different points in the conversation, hopefully. But this is something that you do all the time, and it can't be easy.
You know, I think that, you know, I don't like to put, you know, any, you know, stop buttons in any interviews that I do. I think if I can, you know, let people know, you know, in an honest way what I did and how I did it, and the transparency, you know, helps, you know, have people forgive you. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that we live in a very, you know, forgiving society, and people have been very nice to me, even though that I really did some dumb things and made some poor choices. So with that being said, you know, I think it's a situation, especially in the movie Inside Game, where you can see that those poor choices not only affected me, but the people that I love the most, and that's my family. And we can all learn from it.
Tim, when you're talking about family, I know you have four daughters. How old were they back in 2007 when this was coming apart?
They're 13, 14, you know, 7 and 9. So, you know, they were young.
So what was that conversation like at the time?
You know, basically that I made some poor choices. I made some mistakes, and I was going to have to pay for that. I was going to have to pay for it by losing my job, and not only losing my job, you know, going away for a 15-month jail sentence. So, you know, my kids were very understanding, very forgiving. I'm very fortunate that I've been able to rebuild my life with the help of family and friends, and my youngest daughter has been living with me full-time for the last 8 years.
Wow. I would think if I was your kid at that time, I'd be saying stuff like, Dad, why are you leaving me? Where are you going? Were those conversations happening?
For sure, and it was extremely difficult. I remember when I was in prison and my daughters came for a visit, and when it was time to leave, the youngest one ran, jumped up in my arms, and gave me the biggest, strongest hug and told me that she wasn't going to leave, that she was going to stay there with me.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it was definitely heart-wrenching at the time, and even when I think back about that day, it gets me a little emotional.
Yeah, I get it, but I guess on some level, time heals all wounds, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so let me bring up the name, the gambler, Jimmy Batista, who I know got a hold of you and impacted your life in a negative way. If you don't meet him, and granted, you make your own choices, it's not his fault, you did what you did, and at the end of the day, it's on you. But if you don't meet Jimmy, that friendship, how different is your life?
Well, he wasn't really a friend. He was an associate of the Gambino crime family that happened to go to the same high school with me. My friend was Tommy Martino, who knew him also. He kind of tricked Tommy into setting up a meeting between the three of us. And with that being said, you know, he was the guy that was moving a lot of money. He was a guy that was in debt to a lot of people. He was betting hundreds of thousands of dollars on each one of these plays, and giving information to the Gambino crime family, and eventually it was heard over a Gambino wiretap, and that's how the whole thing was exposed.
So they have you caught on tape. What happened when the FBI approached you, Tim?
Yeah, what happened was is Tommy had called me and said the FBI had been at his house for 3 days asking him questions, and you know, with that being said, I went to an attorney because I knew it was about me. In the next 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. I couldn't eat or drink anything, and the stress was just enormous on my life. I knew I was in a lot of trouble. I had an attorney call, the United States attorney that was working the case, and he basically said, you know, you tell Tim Dunne, I know what you did. I know who you did it with. You're going to lose your job, but if you don't come to us and work with us, not only are you going to lose your job, but you're going to go to jail for a long, long time. And with that threat, I got on the plane the next day and went to New York and sat down with the FBI agents and told them what I did and how I did it.
Tim, you maintain to this day that you did not fix games. You just had information and used that information to benefit. Is that correct?
Yes, and even the FBI and the NBA concluded that I didn't go out and fix games. And what I mean by that is putting stars to the bench and making up fouls to make sure that won. The only thing I did was within the scope of the rule book, you know, I may have targeted certain players with that crew that night and, you know, called violations on them. Maybe were let go in previous games, but for whatever reason, we were going to enforce them strictly that night because maybe of a vendetta between a referee and a player that we were going to enforce.
So am I hearing this right? Before a game, you would target a certain player if they were perhaps under your skin or you just didn't like them, and you try to impact the game that way?
Yes, it was Allen Iverson who had threatened Steve Javy the game before, and we all felt at the staff that he should have been suspended, and he was only fined $20,000. I had the next game, and the two officials I was working with and myself decided that we were going to go out and call palming violations on him, even though he got away with that you know, his whole career. And we went out in the first half, called three palming violations on him, and he came up to me and said, you know, hey, Tim, how long is this going to last for? And I basically told him, I don't know what you're talking about, Alan. And he laughed and looked at me and he said, you know what I'm talking about. And I kind of laughed back at him. So it was just a matter of time that he was going to be scrutinized because of the fact that he had threatened to kill one of our coworkers.
And who did he threaten again?
He threatened Steve Javy,
right,
one of the top officials at the time.
Right. And why was he threatening Steve Javy?
Because Javy just had an ongoing battle with him every time he officiated him. So Alan had had enough, and I think Steve was giving him technical fouls or throwing him out of the game. And as he was walking off the court, he told him that he was going to kill him. And basically, it was something that we felt that he should have been suspended for, and he was only fined.
So the league has to know that this is going on, Tim. They got to know that Joey Crawford and Tim Duncan don't like each other, and Joey Crawford can't seem to put that aside when he referees a San Antonio Spurs game back in the day. Why does the league allow that to happen?
No, and I think now that they really make sure that the animosity between referees and players either gets settled or the referees are held off of their games. In the past, there were only 58 referees, so you would see the same team maybe once, twice, three times a week, or even a couple times more that month. But now they have so many referees, they kind of don't allow the referees to see the same teams as often as they did in the past.
All right, let me rewind back to the gambler that we mentioned earlier, Jimmy Batista. And he made a comment I saw in a YouTube video that you guys had a code word, which was schmaga. And if he called up and used the word schmaga, that meant you had tremendous information and it meant to bet the farm on a particular game. Is that accurate?
Yes, Joey, we nicknamed him Schmaga, was a handicapped child that lived in the neighborhood of the Martinos that we always took out to lunch and really was a part of all our families 20-some years. So that was the words we used if the play was just, so good that he needed to bet everything he could on it. And then we would just call it a Schmaga.
Can you give me an example of a Schmaga game?
One time I was in Washington and Mike Fratello was coaching the Memphis Grizzlies, and he was coming in for that game, and one of the team personnel saw him as he was getting off the bus, and Mike Fratello told him that he was sitting four of his five starters and basically was going to be a throw-in game for them the rest. And I knew Washington was going to win and win big, so I called up Tommy Martino and told him that, it's a schmogger. Washington's going to win and cover, and they're going to win by 20 or 30 points. And with not explaining to him why, he passed that information along to Batista, and they were able to capitalize on it.
It came in, huh? That was a winner?
Absolutely. We wanted a 85% clip. There was very few times where we had problems that we had a bet that lost.
Former NBA ref Tim Donnie, if you want to check out more of that interview, check out my podcast, On the Mark, with Mark Carmen, available on your iTunes and everything else out there. This morning I was on the Steve Cockrell Show. I'm like, Blackhawks pregame's at 7, puck drop at 7:30. Nah, wasn't correct. 6:30 was that pregame, 7 o'clock the puck drop, Carm.
And look at you right here on the air, calling yourself out. That's high integrity right there.
Thank you, Vic. I'm trying to be right with you here. But in the morning show, I said, I didn't say that. In the moment. Come on.
If I get an error in a news report, I seldom get called out for it by listeners. But if I...
Sports.
Yeah.
We're sick.
We've got some smart, good sports listeners, and they'll keep me on track.
You have to understand, sports people, we care a lot about things that really don't matter at all.
Well, they matter to sports fans. I get it.
Right.
The great Dave Bennett doesn't come in till 5, so I try to steer the ship right through then. I keep it simple.
Well, and just for the record, it's to make a nice, serious comment about a sports guy, I'll just give a shout-out to our guy LeBron James, who is living out in L.A. now. He's a Laker. But with the fires going on in California, he had to, evacuate his home. And then today, or yesterday now, he sent a taco truck to firefighters who were trying to control the blaze. Which broke out at the Getty Center around 1:30 a.m. Monday morning. You know more than I do, Vic. 656 acres in L.A.
That's right, yep.
He tweeted out on Monday that he and his family had to evacuate their home because of the fires. They drove around for hours looking for a place to stay. That's kind of amazing. You would think that somebody in Los Angeles would open up their doors to LeBron and his family. But then he sent the taco truck. He said his thoughts were with the men and women fighting the blaze. Quote, first of all, more than anything, my appreciation and loyalty to the first responders. Those guys, men and women, are unbelievable in what they're doing and their bravery throughout this time. They're the reason things can be a lot less worse than they possibly could be. So it's an amazing job they do. And there's pictures of dudes eating some tacos courtesy of LeBron. He also tried to trademark Taco Tuesday, which was completely ridiculous. But LeBron loves his Taco Tuesday. And it's a guy that's done a lot of good with his schools in Akron and whatnot. But so giving back. And it's crazy, man. I was Googling today, top 10 places to live if you're worried about climate change. You know where you're supposed to go? Anybody want to gander a guess as to where the best place to live if you're worried about climate change is?
I'm guessing it's probably somewhere that is warm and not near the water. Wonder Lake, Illinois.
Wonder Lake, Illinois. Vic, you got a guess?
Can you give us a hint? Like what country? Are we just talking the U.S.?
Just the U.S. Top 10 places to live in the United States.
The Grand Tetons at the top.
The Grand Tetons.
Seems like it'd be a safe place.
Climate wouldn't change very much up there.
They went with the UP.
Really?
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Now, I don't know if you got all the water around you, and so you're not going to... You know, if we have massive droughts and whatnot, you're not going to be as affected as much. It's beautiful up there. I'm thinking to myself, I could go chill in the UP.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have an NBA team up there. They don't have MLB. I don't even know there's a college by the UP. What am I going to do, root for Northern Michigan? Is that even a school up there? It's got to be. But the UP, it's very peaceful. I go to Boyne Mountain every summer. Go to my tennis camp up there, so that'd be sweet. And the trees are beautiful. Food's good. Sunsets are nice. I mean, I could do that. Other states, Boston, Massachusetts, the Great Lakes states, Greenland, Denver. I could chill in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Denver wouldn't be bad.
It's a nice town.
And of course, I mean, Chicago fits here. Ireland. You want to go to Ireland? That'd be interesting. All right, left turn here. What is the one job that you've always wanted to have? Now, how this fits into climate change, I'm not exactly sure, but it was part of my news searching today. The one job that might not be the sexiest job on the planet, but that you just always wanted to do. Like, for me, it would be a train operator. Whenever I see the L go by, I want to drive the train. I want to drive the Metra. Bill Murray, you may have heard of him. He wants to work at P.F. Chang's in the Atlanta airport. I assume he's kidding, but he was on Amy Schumer's podcast, and on the one job he'd like to do outside of acting, Murray said, quote, I did fill out an application at a P.F. Chang's at the Atlanta airport because I think that's one of the great places. She asked him to do what? Murray says, quote, it looks like the best time. Like he just wants to chill in P.F. Chang's and hook people up. Have the orange chicken. Let's go.
It's a great way to meet people. I mean, and it's good food.
And I've done a zillion jobs. Vending at the ballpark, just speaking of meeting people, you have a lot of interactions throughout a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a hotel desk front person at a hostel.
At a hostel, too.
Right, so they're coming from all over the world.
Very interesting people. Shoestring budgets.
Straight bizarre, mm-hmm. but straight brilliance, too.
Travelers.
And you know, some maybe were, you know, not necessarily the wealthiest people on the planet, but there's others who just like to live the hostel life. They want to meet people. Mm-hmm. They're traveling by themselves. They're looking for a little bit of social life, so they're going to stay at a hostel.
There was a time in my life when I bounced from hostel to hostel when I was living in...
Yeah?
Yeah, when I lived in Central America and went to hostel to hostel. It's a great experience. You got to do it at least once. So you had that job, huh?
I did.
Wow. Where was it at?
Here in Chicago.
Wow.
Urban Holiday.
Interesting.
Yes, I was. That was when I was gonna. It was a slight radio left turn for a moment in time.
Okay.
And I was gonna be, you know, as I was trying to do a business type of thing,
mm-hmm.
and I was learning what was going on, and so I was spending time at the desk and other things, folding sheets, putting out the cereal, getting it done, man, servicing the people.
Do you have any crazy experiences from that hostel? Now I'm kind of like very curious.
I had people
job.
Who didn't want to stay at the hostel anymore who ended up moving in with me for a short period of time.
Wow.
And paying rent for a couple of days and then not paying rent and then leaving me.
Yeah, that's expected. You're very hospitable, though.
I was.
All these jobs.
I was. I mean.
Was?
Well,
you still are.
I mean, I that would not be something that I could pull off now. But Bill Murray wants to work at P.F. Chang's. By the way, 312-981-7200. What's the one job that you would love to have if just for a day or a week or a month? The one gig. 312-981-7200. You tell me you wouldn't want to drive the Metro train? I'd love to do that. I think about doing just spending a day driving the Uber just to see what it would be like.
That would be interesting.
And maybe hook up the phone, have a bunch of conversations, see if I could turn it into a podcast or something.
Mm-hmm. Didn't somebody do that? There was a broadcaster that did that for a little bit.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Bill Murray, man, wants to go P.F. Chang's.
He is just... everything about
cat.
Him is just
straight
mythological
weird.
And...
Just straight weird.
Straight weird.
But brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant man.
Food service would not be on the top of my list because I've done that. Yeah. The P.F. Chang thing.
A chance.
No.
Work at, to the people that work at Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever, and deal with the Yahoos like myself would come through the drive-thru, you can't, you could not, you do not get paid enough.
No, I did Panera Bread, Oberway Scary, all those. Yeah, I've done it all.
Oh.
I think that once
heroes. Those people are heroes.
The good ones who treat the customers with respect, I'm like, you have gone far and above by saying thank you and have been kind to me because you did not need to do that.
224's texting, by the way, drive a Zamboni. That's a sweet gig. And if we're going sports gigs like that, grounds crew, I think, is awesome. I would love to mow the lawn at Guaranteed Rate Field and or Wrigley Field.
Yeah, that'd be great. We have a few Zamboni drivers texting in.
I would love to. I mean, I'm just, you know, give me the, can I get the hose out and just hose down the seats?
The power hose.
See,
that'd be pretty cool.
I think that's awesome. Sweet gig. I mean, always wanted to stand on the tarmac with two lights in my hand and direct the planes around. That's a great one. I just want to walk around down there. I'd go baggage guy for a day. I think that's a great, you know.
They look really cool.
They look awesome,
it's
those
a great
dudes.
Uniform.
They're, you know, you're in a restricted area. Hooking up the travelers of the world.
You know,
massive respect, by the way, just for the record here. I don't want anybody to get this twisted. Massive respect for anybody in any job that you do. Period. End of story. And huge respect for anyone in the service industry. To deal with the public, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like when I walked through Potbelly's yesterday, you're making sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get extra? No, you cannot. This mm-hmm. is how the sandwich comes. And I don't know how they do it. So smiley at Whole Foods. Or did you find everything that you need?
Mm-hmm.
What, you don't care if I found everything that I need, do you? But you're actually acting like you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, you're like a, you're yeah. a great person. Look at you.
I've seen a lot of things go down to the Whole Foods in downtown Chicago. So with that kind of demeanor, it's hard to bring to the table every day.
Oof.
You know, as far talking about the service industry, the one job that I think that I'd want to have if I could have a job for a day, I've always wanted to be a bartender. A bartender to sling drinks, make the cocktails, talk to the people.
You never bartended?
Well, not professionally, not like at a bar.
Okay.
But I've, you know.
Myers Tavern, baby. Got that done.
You were at Liars?
Myers.
Myers.
Up in Glenview.
Okay.
open right now for another 10 minutes. They stopped serving at 11. No more cheeseburgers. 10 tots. My guy Gus. Absolutely. That was, and people would, back in the day when I was doing it, cigarettes, smoking was legal. People would come in noon on a Saturday. Let me get a scotch on the rocks. Smoke five cigarettes, sit there, drink one drink, leave me a dollar, be there for 4 hours. Sir, you need to go.
Would you ask them their story and learn about them?
No.
That's what I would want.
No, I would scowl at them. Get out of here. You're killing me with that cigarette. All right, quick time out. We'll come back and wrap it on up here. 720 WGN. Oh, a little boom like that out of nowhere. Hide him and love it. It's my guy Mark Knopfler. And those were my guys, Hamp and OB, who were firing, I say, on Sunday after the Bears 17-16 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. And it seems like a fitting place to wrap up the show tonight. Here's the deal in life, if I may. If I may get on my car and pulpit for just a second here. Sometimes in life, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect. And it's okay. Look around you. No one else is perfect, right? Your coworker to your right, your coworker to your left, your fiance, your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your cousin, whoever you want to name, none of them are perfect. They all make mistakes. You know what separates those who make mistakes with those who continue to get knocked down? It's called moving forward. It's called analyzing. It's called owning it. It's called raising your hand and saying, you know what? I blew it. I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to move forward. Now, what I'm talking about right now, if you're not completely with me, is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. His name is Mitchell Trubisky. Now, it's not Mitchell Trubisky's fault that the Bears traded three draft picks to move up from number three to number two to draft him. Mitchell was trying to have a career in the NFL, and the Chicago Bears afforded him that opportunity. We're shining the spotlight right on the general manager. His name is Ryan Pace. And Ryan, through his infinite wisdom at the time, he lined up Deshaun Watson, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate, a national champion at Clemson, beating Alabama, played in the national title game twice. He lined him up. He lined up Patrick Mahomes, who had thrown for 700-plus yards in a college football game and flung it all over the field for Texas Tech. And he lined up Mitchell Trubisky, who started 13 games for North Carolina and was a backup for the majority of his college career. He had a Mercedes, he had a Cadillac, and he had a bunch of spare parts that might have turned into a Maserati, but also probably was going to turn or could turn into a Dodge Dart. And unfortunately, Mitchell Trubisky has turned into a Dodge Dart. Serviceable car. In NFL terms, probably a good backup. But not what you wanted drafting number two overall, giving up three picks. And certainly not the Cadillac and or the Mercedes that was Watson and Mahomes. So he blew it. Swing and a miss. Strike three. You're out. And I think we all know that it ain't going to get any better. He'll look good for a moment, then he'll look awful the next. So what do? You move forward. Onward. You look at what the best options are and unabashedly, without apologizing, you acknowledge what happened and you do your best to fix it. That's all you can do. I don't necessarily think Ryan Pace should lose his job, and I wouldn't be afraid to have him draft a quarterback again. If that's your guy, now we're going further up the food chain to George McCaskey and Virginia and Company. But the Bears have to acknowledge that they blew it and find the guy that's going to be their quarterback, because they have a great defense. And Akeem Hicks is going to come back, and he's going to be healthy, and Khalil Mack is still here, and you've got a good secondary, and you got a lot of young, talented players who can fly around. You just need a quarterback, man. And they do not have one. You could talk about Matt Nagy and his play calling, and should he have run the ball with the timeout with 50 seconds left in the game? Of course he should have. And the defiant Matt Nagy that we've seen this week defending himself for not running an extra play is ridiculous. But none of that matters, really, going forward, unless you get a quarterback. You need a quarterback. So I think it applies to literally all of life. You make a mistake at your job, if you're the sales guy and you blew it, and somehow you lost some huge client, what do you do? You're going to fold up the 10, you're going to try to get that client back and try to, you know, somehow, some way salvage the relationship? Or do you move on and try to figure out who else you can get out there who can bring in some serious dough? Sometimes you got to go forward. Maybe you try to, you know, resuscitate that client at the same time, but you're certainly not going to put all your eggs in that basket, right? That's the same thing that the Bears are facing right now, and I would just encourage them, look, move forward. Admit that you got it wrong, and go out and get yourself Phillip Rivers or Jameis Winston or Cam Newton, or draft a quarterback, whatever the plan will be. Put it with that defense, and then go win yourself a Super Bowl. And tell Mitch thanks but no thanks, and you're our backup now, and we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully you have a long career, make a lot of dough. But it's plain for everyone to see you're not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's it. And be done with it. And live to fight another day. And don't apologize. Hold your head up high. We really loved Mitch. But it didn't work out. We got duped. We thought we saw things that were just not there. We convinced ourselves. We're looking in the mirror as to how that happened. Have some honest conversations. Let's all get in a room. Let's put it all on the table. Perhaps there were some biases going on at the time. One of these quarterbacks does not look like the others, if you catch my drift on that one. All right, thank you tonight to our guy David Ross for jumping on with the interview yesterday. We played that back tonight. The new skipper of your Chicago Cubs, Tim Donaghy, the former NBA ref who went to prison for 15 months and is now featured in a new movie called Inside Game, which I will be checking out. Excited to see that. Apparently, it really details the relationship between him and his dad, who was a former ref himself and now watches his son go down cheating. Pretty incredible. And thank you to you, Michael Heidemann, for producing the program tonight, my friend. As per always, I will be back tomorrow night, 10 until 1, which is after Game 7 of the World Series, so looking forward to that.